Let's get started. My name is Ralph Anderson. I'm the president and CEO at the Bristol Bay Native Association. I'm honored to moderate the session with a member of the president's cabinet. We have an hour and a half, and many people would like to be heard. So I'll be brief in setting up the framework for this session. Let's first show a big Bristol Bay congratulations to Gina McCarthy on her confirmation as the EPA administrator. Madam Administrator, thank you for visiting our state and especially our region. We look forward to working with you in your new capacity. First, I want to explain that this is not an official hearing. There's no testimony will be taken. This is an opportunity for residents to make statements directly to Administrator McCarthy and her staff, much like we did when former Administrator Lisa Jackson visited us back in 2011. Because it's a short time, we'll not be able to hear from everyone who'd like to speak. But we'll try to get to as many people as we can. I was given a list of names to call on. When your name is called, please step to the mic, state your name, who you represent, and make a brief statement. I ask all of you to please respect four simple rules. One speaker at a time will be recognized. Two, please be respectful. Do not disrupt any speaker. Four, keep your statement brief and to the point so we can hear from as many people as possible. Number four, speakers have 3 minutes. I'll step up here to the podium when you have about 30 seconds left. I will interrupt you when your time is up. Not to be rude. We'll first hear from our local leaders, followed by leaders of our tribes, the leaders of our state and regional organizations, and then I'll call on people from the list of names that I was provided. I'll make my remarks at the close of the session. This session will end at 11:30 a.m. I'd now like to call on Dennis McLaren. Dennis is the regional director of the EPA.
Thank you so much, and it's great to be back in Bristol Bay. I'm the regional administrator for Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, and I see many familiar faces in the audience. I also want to thank you all for being here on short notice, and know that it's moose hunting season and berry picking time, and that it's a disruption to your lives to come here and be with us today. But this is a very important day. This is a day where our new administrator, Gina McCarthy, is here in Bristol Bay to actually see what you have petitioned us to learn about and to hear about. And I know I've been here many times, and Rick Parkin has been here, Diane Soderlund has been here, but this is the first time for Gina McCarthy, and we're trying to pack a lot into her day so she sees a little bit of everything. So unfortunately, we only have until 11:05 because we do have to keep moving. So thank you again. I'm going to be very short here and turn it over to Gina because she is the one you want to talk to and she wants to hear what you have to say.
I think I'll just stay right here, not out of any disrespect, but so that we can hear from you folks as quickly as possible. First of all, I really wanted to thank you for your hospitality. I know that we are very disruptive in jumping in here and gathering people together, but frankly, we're being disruptive because we know that we need to hear from you. I am here not to talk to you, but to listen and to learn. EPA is all about making sound decisions, and the basis of our decisions is always an open public process where we listen to people's concerns and where we follow the science. We are doing the very best job we can on that watershed assessment under Dennis's leadership and Diane's leadership. We are pulling these issues together so that we can have a solid foundation for decision-making moving forward. I know how important this issue is. I know, and I'm learning more and more about what it means for your culture, what it means for your communities, what you believe it means for future generations and your children and grandchildren. That's important for me to hear and to understand. So right now, I am going to shut up and listen. Thank you for being here.
I'd first like to call on Tom Tilden. Tom, can you please step to the mic?
Thank you very much, Gina, for taking this opportunity to come up and listen to us. And one of the things that I think that was emphasized earlier with you is that we are people of the land. Our society is no different than any other society. We base our decisions on science just as other societies do. And we feel that we are people of fish. We are people of salmon. That is what we depend on. And they come back year after year after year to feed us, not only in our economics, but in our subsistence way of life. And that's who we are. We are salmon people, and we're dependent on it, just like they're dependent on us. And it's very important that I think that you learn about our rich history. There's been only two times in the history of Bristol Bay that we've reached out to the federal government to save our salmon. The first time that we reached out was during the fish trap era. And the fish traps were killing machines, and they were wiping out the streams of Bristol Bay and the salmon of Bristol Bay. And we had to go to Washington, D.C. and ask for help. And we received that help. The fish traps were removed. And now we are reaching out again because we have a proposal, a proposed mine on the headwaters of the Coctulee and the Tulare Creek area that would put a huge 3-mile pit in that area and tons of waste that would eventually seep down into the groundwater and poison that water. Because it doesn't take a scientist to realize that eventually it's not a matter of if it'll contaminate, it's a matter of when it'll contaminate, because eventually gravity is going to take that contaminated water and bring it down into the groundwater, and it will contaminate the area. And when you fly over that area today, you will see it as a high plateau. It is a high plateau of wetlands. There's water galore up there, and that water will seep eventually and wipe out our fishery. And that will wipe out who we are. And it's really important that we do have this government-to-government relationship, and we're exercising it, and we're asking that you come and sit down with us and learn about us and find out how dependent we are on the salmon. And when we talk about our fishery, not only in economics but our subsistence lifestyle, we're talking about our families, because as the video that we showed you earlier, it was a family event from the smallest kids that learn to the adults, to the grandparents. Everybody learns, and everybody helps in and pitches in when it comes to dealing with the salmon. We live in an area that has a high cost of living, and that high cost of living is supplemented by the salmon that we eat during the winter. And it's important to us, it's important to our diet that we have the salmon, and it contributes to who we are. And I think that one of the things that was pointed also is that we do a lot of trading and sharing. And we wanted to, that's why we gave you that salmon, was to share that salmon with you. And so that hopefully you will enjoy it. And yes, share it with your family. And I hope that we want this renewable resource to come back year after year after year. And so that we could continue to be who we are. And we believe that your agency can provide us that opportunity. We should not trade a non-renewable source for a renewable resource. That's basically what's going to happen if that mine does go through. And we based our decision on science. We were highly critical of the first assessment that came. We provided testimony to things that lacked, that needed to be done, that needed to be part of that assessment. We based our decision on science. And we believe that the decision and invoking 404C should be science-based. And we hope that you will take the science that we know, the science that we live, and put that in your decision-making when you come decide on whether or not you're going to invoke the 404C. We represent three different cultures here. We represent the Aleutians, the Aleut people. We represent the Yupiks, the Yupik people. And we also represent the Athabasca people here. Three distinct cultures that are dependent on that salmon. And then I think that our lifestyle, our people, are worth preserving. And we hope that you invoke 404C. I would like to present you at this time a drawing by a local artist named Mabayo, and she made this print here, and in it she says, "They return to remind our future generations who we are," and that couldn't be farther from the truth. And I'd like to give you this, and I want to thank you for coming out here, and welcome to Bristol Bay.
Before we hear from Alice Ruby, I'd like to let everybody know that there's a sheet that will be distributed here so you can write your comments, make your statements. They'll be collected by Tammy at the end of the session. Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on Alice Ruby. Alice is the mayor of the city of Dillingham.
Well, good morning. And I will echo what Tommy said. We certainly appreciate you coming here. We really do. And we appreciate everybody else coming here today to speak to you. In 2006, the city of Dillingham took a position opposed to the Pebble Mine. And in those years, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed to convince us that what will happen up in the headwaters of the river that we depend on is going to keep us safe. I wanted to take a minute to give you a snapshot of the community. We're about 2,300 permanent population here in the city of Dillingham, but at any one minute, if you were to stop the clock, there would be double or triple the people in the community moving through. And that's because we're a service and a transportation hub, and we're also a port, freight, and also for the fishing industry. We're a jumping off spot for the Woodchick State Park, for the Togiak National Wildlife Refuge, and then for the Nushagak and Wachatna Rivers. All of those are major recreational areas and subsistence areas. In the city of Dillingham, we find that often there's a perception that our communities are just sort of waiting for someone to hand us something or take care of us. In the city of Dillingham, we take care of ourselves. We choose to fairly heavily tax ourselves relative to the other communities in the state. In fact, if you looked at the state's taxable communities study, you would see that we're number 15 in all the communities in the state for self-supporting through a 13 mil property tax, a 6% sales tax, a 6% gaming tax, a 10% bed and alcohol tax, and a 2.5% fish tax. On top of that, our residents pay fees for almost every service, such as ambulance, landfill, harbor, and port. Our economy is based on fishing and resources. That was our past, and it's where we've chosen to base our future, on our industry. The resources are critical, and it's very important that both in perception and in fact, that the waters are clean, that the waters are not polluted, that our economy can be sustained by the fishery. And again, I really appreciate your coming here today and listening to all of our residents, and we hope the weather holds for you so that you're able to see everything clearly. Thank you.
Next is our representative in the Alaska House of Representatives, the Honorable Bryce Edgman.
Good morning. I too want to echo the comments that welcome you into the region, and certainly congratulating you on your appointment, and maybe more so on your confirmation, as I understand it's not a very easy process back east. My name is Bryce Esmond. I'm from the Dillingham area, born and raised here. I've served in the Alaska legislature for 8 years, representing Bristol Bay for the most part throughout those 8 years. I'm here today to speak in strong support of the scientific assessment that the agency has been undertaking. I think it's a process that is certainly well-deserved, is well-intentioned, and it's a process that I wish I could stand here and say that the state had joined in with you to actually conduct. But unfortunately, the large-scale mining in the region, i.e. the Pebble Mine, has become deeply rooted in politics in Alaska. And to get any type of objective, comprehensive assessment of what it actually would mean to the region in its entirety has been an effort that, one that I've led in the Alaska legislature, but that has fallen short. And unfortunately, I'm here before you today to strongly endorse your effort along with the majority of the Bristol Bay region, but in the face of your agency having an adversarial relationship with the state of Alaska. And the state government, the executive branch, the body politic here in the state, also sort of opposing the agency's efforts, even though the delegation from Western Alaska, two senators and the two House members, four House members that have represented the larger part of Southwest Alaska, have come out in support of EPA's undertaking. So I'd like to close by saying that I strongly endorse what you're doing. I hope the outcomes, the conclusions are strong in nature, that they put the protective elements in place that this area so richly deserves. And I want to wish you safe traveling as you conclude your trip to Alaska, and really appreciate you taking the time to come out here and to hear directly from the people in the region. Thank you.
Thank you, Bryce. Next, we'll hear from Tristan Cheney.
Thank you for coming to Dillingham. My name is Tristan Cheney. My parents are Will and Robin Cheney. My grandparents are Robin and Judy Samuelson and Joe and Ellen May Cheney. I am here to speak about how the Pebble Mine will hurt Alaska and the people of Bristol Bay. I am a subsistence and commercial fisherman and a trapper and hunter. I trap for rabbits, foxes, weasels, mink, muskrats, and beaver. I hunt moose and caribou for my family. Last week, I got a moose from my family for the third year. I also fish for all five species of salmon and all the other fish. I commercial fish on the Robin Darlene with my grandpa. I have been saving up my commercial fishing money for college. That's how I'm going to pay for college. There are many other kids here who fish, both as assistant and commercial. They depend on the salmon runs for food and money for their family. Most of the kids here oppose the Pebble Mine. The water in the river here is clean enough to drink. I can go down to the river from our cabin and get some water and just drink it. In the wintertime, when I go up river to hunt for caribou, we bring water bottles and we can just chop a hole in the ice and dip our bottles in there and have water to drink. My family just came back from moose hunting at our cabin below Ekwok. Every day we pack our water for drinking in our mukai. I still have some water in my water bottle. From up there, that's how clean it is. And the first thing I ever drank as a baby was from a stream. And I want the future generations to be able to go down to the river and be able to drink the water from there. Pebble Mine would pollute our water and destroy our ecosystem and forever destroy this native way of life for me and the future generations. Please use your authority to stop the Pebble Mine. Thank you.
Next, we have a number of tribal leaders that I will call on. First, Julius Henry from the Twin Hills Tribal Council.
Good morning. My name is Julius Henry, Twin Hills Tribal Council. And the reason I came here is to let you know that, you know, the salmon that we live on today has been, you know, always has been. And if we get, the mine goes through and poison our fish, then it's like wiping us out of existence along with the fish and wiping out our life even the fish itself as a, you know, ecosystem, it's, we are part of the ecosystem. It's like wiping us out to ourselves. And we, I guess I'm here to let you know that we'd like you to help us protect this watershed. That's all I have. Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Lukey Aquacock from the Equock Village Council.
Good morning. My name is Lukey Aquacock, Sr. I'm the chair of Native Village of Council of Equock and Equock Native Limited. I would like to thank you, EPA, for completing the watershed assessment. I thank you for coming out to Bissell Bay to hear firsthand from local leaders and the people of Bissell Bay about the impact of the address of the watershed assessment. We showed up a little of time to your meeting to let you know our view on Pebble. Our people oppose the development of Pebble. I want to thank Dennis McClure and his staff to have the courage of listening to us and then acting on our request by putting together the science, both Western and Native science, into the watershed. I own a cabin on the Kaptuli River that I take my grandchildren and to each year, and I've seen the change of salmon returning over the years since Pebble have increased their drilling during Explorer. I have seen less and less salmon in the river over time. I have your senior leadership at my cabin to see the beauty of this river and watershed. We have many birds, fish, bears, moose, and other animals that reside in the watershed because of the nourishment brought in by the salmon return each and every year. We need your help, Administrator to finalize the Bissell Bay Watershed Assessment by the end of this year and move out on tribal's request in the beginning of 2014. To us, EPA, that's right, under the Clean Water Act, Section 404C, to protect the watershed from large-scale mining. Developing that would contaminate our waterland and river. You have the authorization with EPA to do this. We need you to do this. We oppose Pebble Mine back when Cominco staked the claim, and we oppose Pebble today. We need your support, and thank you for coming out to listen to us in Bissell Bay. Thanks.
Next, we'll hear from Raymond Apakadok from the village of Leavelock.
Good morning. Thank you for coming up here and listening to our concern. Both of you come up here. And I'm from Leavelock, and we're on the Quijack River, 50 miles from Bissell Bay, and there's about 80 or so year-round residents, and we live a subsistence lifestyle. And, you know, everything lived off of clean water, and it's got to have to. And it's all, everything lived off of clean water. All the animals could be go hunting, get fish, gathering, and berry chicken, and all that stuff. And it, I want that to continue on for my grandson and his kids, and for a future generation. And I'd like to thank you again for coming up here to listen to us. I would like you to finish that assessment and act now to protect the Bristol Bay and our way of life. Thank you again.
I call on Mary Ann Johnson from the Portage Creek Village Council. Please silence your cell phones.
Good morning. Thank you for coming. First of all, I am the daughter of Wesley and Lena Kapotek. And when I was sitting here this morning, I was thinking, what am I going to say? And I read Kim singing, oh no, we're sending her up to talk. But normally we are a very humorous people, but today everybody's so serious. Because our fish is a serious business for us, for our people here. And as I was sitting here this morning thinking, what am I going to say? I was listening to everybody, and if you sit and you listen to everybody here, you'd hear them, everybody telling stories. Did you catch your moose? Did you get your fish? Did you get your berries? And I bet you almost everybody in this room here has in their household a freezer for berries, a freezer for fish, and a freezer for meat, because that's how important our resources are to us here. And I know the importance of economy and having a job and weighing, do we need jobs here? Yes, we do. And weighing it against if we'd like to have our freezers full every year. And I know this because I am from a village whose economy is nothing right now. Most everybody has moved away because we can't make it out there. But to put an imprint in your mind of my story, I don't know how many years ago it was, but we had our commercial salmon industry was at a crash, and we were at home. And seriously, we did not know what our next meal was going to be. And that's a very, very scary thought. What are you going to feed your kids? Your next meal. And we were worried about how we were going to make it through the winter. And we were eating dinner at one of our elders' place, and it was fish. And one of the ladies there said to the elder, you know, if fish and game catch you, getting that fish, you're going to go to jail. Because we weren't allowed to fish. And the elder said, well, he's going to have to arrest everybody in this village, because everybody in this village took part of that fish because we were hungry. And that's what fed us that the whole winter. And it's stories like these that makes you think about how you're going to weigh. Would you rather have a job that ends in 50 years? Or would you rather have your freezers full every year, forever? Thank you for your time.
Next, we'd like to hear a joint presentation by Robin Samuelson and Dorothy Larson of the Chilean Tribal Council.
Good morning and welcome to Dillingham and Bristol Bay, better known as God's Country. We've been dealing with mines, major mines, here in Bristol Bay for the last 20 years. The last 10 years it's been the big proposed mine, the Pebble Mine. I want to thank your agency, on behalf of the tribes and the people of Bristol Bay, your agency, for the attentiveness that they've given us in these hearings. The last time this gym was open, the other half was open. The bleachers were plumb full. There was no seats available. And not one person, well, about 300 people that time, was in that meeting. Not one testified in favor of the Pebble Mine. 100% of the participants testified to your agency. They were against the Pebble Mine. We're not against mining in Bristol Bay. But that mine, as Ted Stevens said, that mine is in the wrong spot. It should be, you know, if it was in Arizona, it'd be fine. I wish that you could get out of the airplane. I wish you were going to up to the mine tomorrow or today, and you were going in a helicopter, because you're about this tall and you'd sink about that much in the water. I'm not kidding you. They issued their workers up there knee boots. Nobody could walk around knee boots. Even the tall guys were up to here in the water. Their mine rigs were tilted over. It's a wetlands up there. And if you go down and look at the water aquifers, they're going between the Malchatna and Iliamna Lake like this. We've put our time in. State of Alaska, thank God, Bryce Edgman, them people, they, our representatives, they support us. We've had three governors that doesn't support us. Most of the Republican legislature does not support us, both in the House and the Senate. They don't even come out here and have hearings with us. They don't even recognize our subsistence needs, or let alone our tribal status out here. The state is on a whole different mission, and I find it really ironic that your agency, all the way from Washington, D.C., has the interest to come up and listen to us when our own state has turned their back on us. When you're done with this watershed assessment, as soon as possible, we're all hoping that you'll come out with a positive decision on our behalf, because without you, we are screwed 100%. I'd like to call on Dorothy to come up. The tribe has a resolution that we passed. Dorothy?
We do have a resolution. I don't have it with me. We've submitted those to you over the last several years, over the last, 10 years that we've been talking with EPA. But I had some comments. Good. Thank you, Gina, for coming, and Dennis, and all of EPA. And congratulations. Thanks, I'm Dorothy Larson. I'm the administrator for the Children Tribal Council, which is the tribal government here in Gillingham. You've seen our letters and you've seen our resolutions, and they're on file with you. We know that because I have them in my office too, so if you can't find them, ask me.
I got it.
Our goal is to protect the habitat and our renewable sources, resources. We depend on those for all of our food, as you've heard. Our goal is not necessarily to stop all development, but we do want to protect our environment and our renewable resources. You've seen and heard many polls and surveys, and the majority of those overwhelmingly are against large-scale mining in Bristol Bay, especially where the Pebble Mine site is. And our traditional knowledge, TEK, it's called Traditional Ecological Knowledge, is not necessarily recorded in books, but it is scientific. It is held with our elders, held in our traditions, held in how we practice those activities of hunting and fishing and gathering. But the most thorough scientific study has been conducted by the EPA. And it shows that a mine such as Pebble would have very significant negative impacts on the salmon populations of Bristol Bay region, given that the mine operations are accident-free, but would be very disastrous if there were an accident. We have also based the preliminary mine plans that have been submitted by the Pebble Partnership indicate that the mine footprint would likely result in the direct loss of up to 100 miles of streams and 4,800 acres of wetlands. And over the 760,000 comments that you've received about the first and second draft of the Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment, 590,000 of those comments indicated that they were in favor of protecting Bristol Bay, and 77% were anti-mining in Bristol Bay. The Pebble Partnership itself indicates that there will be over 10 million tons of mining waste laced with toxins that would be generated and must be contained forever in a tailings pond. Now, is it not enough to scare everybody off of that? And who is going to watchdog that into perpetuity? The mine is going to bring in some money, going to bring in some jobs, 2,000 at the high end for jobs, 1,000 over 30 to 60 years at the low end, and only 1.5% of the revenues from that mine is going to go to our state in taxes. 1.5%. The rest is going out of the state and even out of the country. Our commercial and sport fishing industries, on the other hand, provide about 5,000 full-time equivalent jobs on an annual basis, and they generate between 318,000 and 572 million dollars annually. And then for my family, just for subsistence foods, we save about $60,000 per year for my family of four by hunting, fishing, and gathering. So that's also an economic benefit to our community and our region. I would like to remind you that to invoke 404C under the Clean Water Act, you do not have to prove that a harmful event will happen. All you have to do is say, if a harmful event happens, it will cause harmful effects. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next group that we'll be hearing from are our local business leaders. We have about 10 that I'll be calling on. So please keep your business types like me, your representing organizations, please keep your remarks short, brief, and to the point. We have 45 minutes left, so please be quick. Thank you. I forgot to call on somebody. Joe Chiflick is the chairman of the board of BBNC.
Morning, Commissioner McCarty and Regional Administrator Glenn. My name is Joe Chiflick, as mentioned. I'm from the village of Alakanigik, originally a tribal member. I've been on a BBNC board for a number of years, currently chairman, and I've lived here my whole life, 70 years or so, and have relied on subsistence resources for my family. We want to thank you for coming again, as many people have said. As you can see from this room, people care deeply about our resources. Our region has been working jointly together with your people for the last several years, and we've enjoyed the support we've had from the former administrators. We trust that you will give us that same support. As you've heard from our people, we depend on our salmon, clean water, and the Clean Water Act requires that we continue to have that clean water. Pebble's potential impacts have been hanging over our heads for about 10 years plus. It's created a lot of anxiety amongst our people. In the future, we ask, is there going to be any fish to catch, moose to hunt, even clean water to drink? These resources keep our region and cultures intact. We are anxious to know that we have a future for all of us, including our kids who spoke to you. Your agency has been working hard to complete the watershed assessment, and the latest draft, I think, accurately describes our region, its people and resources, and the potential impacts from large-scale metallic sulfide mining like cobalt. We want to let you know that large-scale mining of this type we'll pursue is not appropriate in the headwaters of our fishery. The water set assessment must be finalized now. Public response to the water's assessment has been incredible. Nearly 900,000 comments were submitted to your agency on the second draft, and then more than 1,100 people responded from our region to your agency, and the comments that we received from our region nearly unanimous. 99% supported the water's assessment and want the EPA to protect the region from the potential development of pebble. Only 9 comments, less than 1%, supported the pebble project and criticized this assessment. At the meeting later today up in Iliamna, you may hear from some people who support pebble, but I want to remind you that these people represent a tiny minority of our region. BBMC has done extensive polling of our shareholders. Vast majority of our shareholders, including the majority of our shareholders in the Iliamna area, support the watershed assessment. So please do not believe anyone who tries to convince you otherwise. We want you to get this job done. Don't wait until next year or even until the fishing season. Please do it as quickly as possible so we can have a future that we're all hoping to have. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to call on Catherine Karskalin.
Hi, and thanks for coming and listening to us this morning. My name is Catherine Karskalin. I was born and raised here in Dillingham, and I'm a commercial fisherman, have been all my life, and I'm the third generation in my family that fishes. And the other day I counted about, I think, up to 15 people in my family who depend directly on the fishery here, and it's growing as my cousins get their kids involved. So it's a big part of my family. And I'd like to speak to you on behalf of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. We're a fisherman-funded and run organization dedicated to improving the value and markets of our salmon for our fishermen. And over the years, our fishermen have worked very hard and invested millions to improve the quality of our products and raise awareness around the globe of the value behind our clean and sustainable resource. This year, we saw the highest price for salmon in Bristol Bay that we have received since the 1980s. And I know we have a lot of room to grow. The BBRSA has also dedicated time and resources towards science to better understand and manage our sustainable fishery. Through much of this work, it has become clear that the most immediate threat to the viability of our fishery is the proposed pebble mine. In addition to the irreversible damage that the mine would have, it's very important to understand how this would immediately and permanently hurt our prices and limit our ability to grow. In salmon, consumer perception is everything, and when it comes to marketing our fish, and even with no event or accident, storing toxic tailings where our salmon spawn and rear will do irreparable harm to our industry. Your agency has been asked by commercial fishing groups and businesses from Bristol Bay to Bellingham to Boston to take a protective action for one of the last remaining sustainable fisheries and the thousands of family businesses it supports. I don't have to tell you, it's not often our industry invites the EPA in, and unprecedented that we would be so united. But we see this action through the Clean Water Act and see action now as necessary to provide us with the assurances we need to continue the viability of our fishery. It's been a decade that the threat of this mine has hung over our heads. And for people in my generation, investing in the fishery, buying in, is a huge leap in financial risk. And I see it as one that our fishery will pay back to us as long as we ensure that the habitat remains there. But the threat of this mine is only adding to the uncertainty. And I've heard people in my generation say they don't want to take the leap because of the risk this mine poses. And I have no doubt that others in our industry are having the same hesitations. For a fishery to be successful, we need continued investment, and for that we need the trust that our government is looking out for us. So, I mean, this is the third time I've thanked you, Dennis McLaren, for coming out here, and I'm very grateful that you guys have taken the time to look at this situation. And we need action. We can't wait any longer. We can't let the threat of this hang over us anymore. So I've been asked to give you this small token of our appreciation. This is a sockeye salmon, and please notice the most important detail on here is the adipose fin. This is a wild, sustainable sockeye salmon.
I'd like to call on Dennis Andrew from New Sui Hawk Limited. Dennis?
Welcome. Good morning. And I want to thank you for coming out here like Lisa Jackson has. And Dennis McLaren, Rick, the staff, I want to thank you guys. From the get-go, I want to thank EPA that helped the communities, hired people, clean up the villages. That's number one. Thank you for being with us. Number two, from the get-go, we're behind you with EPA to protect Bristol Bay. I'm going to go back to the sailboat days. My father was a sailboat fisherman. That fish went outside of Seattle in barrels way back. Today, a little bit further, canning. Today, we're using slush ice. That tells me constant improvement for that salmon to be served to our people. Another big one, salmon has to have aquatic life. EPA did a study. More than 50% of the waters, the rivers in the United States of America, they're unstable. This watershed out here in Bristol Bay is unique. It has to continue. We can't afford to let it go. It feeds many people. The way I look at it, our water and the ocean, our rivers, is just like in your house, what I call my dinner table. My dinner table that Pebble Mine is trying to tamper with. No, that Pebble Mine is totally, totally unacceptable. Another reason, if the tailings are 700 feet high and stuff, to our prevailing winds, are getting stronger. The time's changing. We can't afford that. As we speak, our people are gathering berries and stuff, fish. A few weeks ago, I traveled to Mardiff, New Yakuk River. I idled down. I was so happy to see a lot of kings. Another trip I went, headwaters of Headland, Malchatna, beyond Coctuli, a couple weeks ago, drifted down. I was so happy to see all them salmon. The second trip, I went to New Yakuk again, even more after they spawned what I spotted under the water. That fish spawned. That means it gives me that another 4 years. But Bristol Bay is unique with all the salmon. What happened to all the carcasses and stuff, what my elders used to tell me, he said, Dennis, you watch. The river's going to clean up itself. It rises and cleans out all the old fish and carcasses. So another big one is our rivers feed the ocean out there, our animals. And I want to thank you guys. Please act now. Been too many years. Don't wait till December. We need it now, the 404C. Please think of our youngsters. Thank you for coming out here.
Next, I'd like to call on a couple of our local elders, Joanne and George Nelson.
We do appreciate you coming, as everyone has mentioned already. One of the subsistence things that we have not touched on is the subsistence use of waterfowl, the birds. And there was an article about over 100 snow geese were found dead in a tailing pond in Butte, Montana. And ornithologists determined that they died from the poisonous waters, that their insides of their mouths and their gullets were all blistered, and they died. And in southwest United States, I'm not sure if it's New Mexico or Arizona, there's a tailing pond where regularly people are sent out in small boats with dip nets to dip the dead birds off of the surface of the tailing ponds. We can't let that happen here in Alaska. We depend on the geese, the ducks, for our subsistence, as well as for the salmon, and we also depend on the eggs of the waterfowl, the gulls, etc. And I just think that those are things that we should always consider, is the birds of the air and the importance they are in our lives. I did research and wrote a book, Birds of Southwest Alaska. I would like to give you a copy.
Next, I'd like to hear from Tim Bristol from Trout Unlimited.
First of all, thank you very much for making the long trip. And I also want to recognize Dennis for his leadership. You've just done an incredible job. You and your staff have gone above and beyond what we'd expect from any agency anywhere. As the first environmentalist to stand up here today, I think you're getting a pretty good indication that this is not just a greenie issue. This is about the people who live here, the way they live, and you have been the only people that have really opened your ears, closed your mouths, and listened to what the people here want and need. I just want to commend you for the process, first of all. It's been open, it's been transparent, and it's been fact-based. And that's why Alaskans want this. That's why 84% of the people across the state of Alaska who testified, wrote in comments, sent an email to you on the watershed assessment, support it. And then 99% of the people here in the Bristol Bay region. That's just incredible. And I think the reason for that is the safety net that Alaska, the state of Alaska, is supposed to have in place, protecting water, being open and transparent, listening to what local people want. That has been torn away. Trout Unlimited, organization of commercial fishing interests, and several of the tribal governments here in the room today sued the state of Alaska a couple of years ago. A long time ago, many people in this room helped put together a management plan for the land that contains the Pebble Prospect, and it was a good plan. It was about protecting fish and wildlife and moose and caribou and the things that people here depend upon. That was flipped completely upside down, turned totally inside out in 2005. Luckily, we were able to pull the state of Alaska into court and make them reopen that planning process. We are now engaged in a dialogue with the state to see if they will start listening to the people who live out here. About 500 people commented on the revision of the state land plan. It's the most ever on a state land plan. So it's not just the EPA process. Whenever people here are given a chance to speak out, they will do it, and they will try to represent their interests to the best of their ability. Unfortunately, the state doesn't necessarily do a very good job of listening to those. I also want you to keep in mind that it's about more than just Pebble. There's 1,000 square miles of mining claims out there at the headwaters of the Nishigak and the Quijack. And that represents an area 33 times the size of Washington, D.C. Just kind of try to picture that when you're out there flying around today. And finally, if you look at the land management patterns, the way the land is designated out here, you have two national parks that are part of their purpose is to protect salmon. Then you have the largest state park in the United States, 2 million acres, Woodtickchick. There's a missing piece of the conservation puzzle, and that's the land that contains Pebble and the other mining claims out there. We need the Environmental Protection Agency to step in and provide a series of safeguards wild salmon sideboards that will protect that resource. It is an incredible opportunity for this administration. It could be the single best conservation opportunity for the Obama administration. I hope you seize upon that opportunity. Thanks again for coming.
The next call on Sharon Clark. Sharon Clark is from my hometown, the sovereign nation of Clark's Point, representing this Sevilla.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Clark, and I'm from Clark's Point, located 12 miles southwest of Dillingham, at the very heart of the commercial fishery area of the Nooshkak Bay. I would like to thank EPA for coming to Dillingham to listen to concerns that has local, state, national, and global importance to the people of Bristol Bay. Your commitment to listening to our people proves that your involvement has not gone unnoticed, and we want to thank you for that. We depend on the resources in this watershed for subsistence, personal consumption, and for a livelihood. We applaud EPA for taking charge of the impacts addressed in this study. We have been dealing with this threat for 41 years. When I say 41 years, our board of directors of the Bristol Bay Native Association in 1972 passed a resolution that stated that the Cominco Mine, known as part of Northern Dynasty and now Pebble Mine, not be developed. And this came from signatures from 28 villages in our region. It has created stresses because it will impact human and our way of life. In creating a large open pit would pollute and destroy the streams. The streams, of course, lead to the ocean and therefore salmon. It is not appropriate to have a mine at the headwaters of our fishery, and the assessment provides a critical science-based foundation for our original request to take 404C action to protect Bristol Bay. Poor resource development can be deadly to fish spawning and rearing and can pollute the waters. This has been confirmed that we have known this for many years through our traditional knowledge. Impacts on climate change are all already surfacing. We are seeing and experiencing high winds, flooding and erosion in our area. We would like to urge you to take action to protect our way of life. The world is looking to see how EPA is fulfilling their responsibility on health and environment in Bristol Bay. Not taking action on behalf of Bristol Bay is unacceptable to us as people. We need the plan to be finalized and released so that we can be assured that we are protected, and it is tied directly to the health and human nature and the fisheries for the natural resources and the water that we drink. I'm a grandmother of 13, a mother, a sister, a daughter. My father has strived for many years in protecting the natural resources. Many of our pleas have gone unheard. This day of Alaska, we are treated like second-class citizens, and we are proud to express our thanks and gratitude to EPA and its administration for taking the charge in administering the plan. Thank you.
Next, I call on Bobby Andrew from representing the NMTA.
Morning. On behalf of the Board of Directors of NMTA, I'd like to welcome all of you to Dillingham to hear the concerns of the speaker that you've heard. In addition, I would also like to thank the EPA staff for selecting me representing Equoc Village Council and Kimberly Williams, Nunam Daluksdai Executive Director, representing Cholium Tribal to serve on the technical working group in preparation for the watershed assessment over a year ago. As Yupiks, Sukhbeks, Athabascans, Aleuts and Inupiat living in the Bristol Bay are concerned center around the risk to the salmon fishery for the future generation. As you all have heard many times, the Bristol Bay watershed supports the world's largest remaining wild sockeye salmon fishery and provides food for the world. This bountiful resource supports the subsistence livelihood of the community throughout Bristol Bay. For centuries, our people have relied on the salmon as our primary source of food, and we are proud of it. Without salmon, our health will deteriorate. I have been involved in opposing the Pebble Project since 2004 and have observed some changes in the communities I have visited. The looming threat of the Pebble Project has divided families, communities, because of money from the Pebble Project. I am a grandfather to 9, and their future to practice a subsistence way of life is being threatened by the Pebble Limited Partnership plans for North America's largest open pit mine. The mine site is located in the wrong location within the spawning habitat area. My granddaughter, who was a member of the Brownie Scouts, now 8 years old, said a year ago after her mother received a phone call about a meeting to determine how the monies they received from the Pebble Fund were going to be used. After she overheard, she said, "My involvement with the Scouts is now going to be limited." Listen to a 7-year-old saying that. I consider her statement to be a threat to her future to practice a healthy subsistence way of life. EPA needs to release the final assessment and take action and initiate the 404C as soon as possible and not wait another 3 months. 99% of our people will support and stand by your action. The Board of Directors of Nunavut-Aleut-Istai look forward to continued positive dialogue we have had since our first invitation to our conference in Equauk in 2004. Once again, thank you on behalf of Nunavut-Aleut-Istai for coming and hearing the concerns of the people of Bristol Bay, for your office to remind you. I'd like to give you this. I kind of changed the playground. For the upside down. Act now, 404T. Stop.
Next, I'll call on Karen Kiko. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Good morning. My name is Taryn Kiko. I am here today on behalf of the Natural Resources Defense Council and our 1.3 million members and activists. I'm also here today in 100% support of the people of the Bristol Bay region who, as you've heard, are overwhelmingly opposed to Pebble Mine. Thank you, Administrator McCarthy, for taking the trip up here to see firsthand and to hear firsthand from the people and the residents whose lives and livelihoods will be threatened by Pebble Mine. And I hope that you're as inspired as I am sitting here in this auditorium and listening to everybody's stories. And thank you to Regional Administrator McLaren and all of the EPA staff for hearing and responding to the request of tribes and others to protect Bristol Bay from threats like pebble mine. NRDC submitted extensive comments on the watershed assessment, and so today I just want to make three short points. First, we really applaud EPA for taking action and for commencing the watershed assessment, particularly in the face of the relentless political opposition you're now facing on Capitol Hill. And as I hope you're hearing today, it is the people of the region that are asking, urging you to act now, and they're asking for your help now. So with that, I hope that EPA will take the next step and finalize the assessment and initiate action under Section 404C. Second, I'd like to say that the watershed assessment is clear, it's grounded in sound science, and it's extremely technical, as you guys know. But what it says in very simple terms is what everybody here in this room already knows, that a large-scale mine like Pebble Mine in that location will have unacceptable adverse impacts. And third and finally, no amount of modern engineering or mitigation measures like Pebble Mine promises will be enough. A mine of this size in this location will be destructive. The only thing that is certain is that mitigation will fail, contamination will occur, and salmon eventually will be destroyed. As you've been hearing today, salmon are the lifeblood of this region. You've been hearing stories about salmon and clean water, and you've been hearing from the people about how they'd like you, EPA, an agency that they usually don't ask for help, to come in and protect it. So I hope that you're inspired to act and you're inspired to protect after today. And on behalf of NRDC's 1.3 million members and activists, we thank you for the extraordinary work that you've done this far. And we urge you to finalize the assessment this year as promised and then immediately initiate action under Section 404C. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Our next call on Jimmy Kupchak from Togiak.
Good morning. My name is Jimmy Kupchak. I'm a board member for Togiak Native Limited and a tribal member of the Traditional Council of Togiak. Togiak is the most western part of Bristol Bay, and we rely heavily on salmon. I would like to urge EPA to finalize the Bristol Bay watershed assessments. We have waited 2.5 years for the Bristol Bay watershed assessment. Not taking action is harming us in Bristol Bay, as Lisa Markowski stated in her letter to Pebble Limited. And if the mine goes through and there is a breach in the settling dam and it flows down the Quijack, it will harm the fish headed for Togiak. Our salmon runs are important to the residents of Bristol Bay, the state of Alaska, and the rest of the world. So please formalize the Bristol Bay assessment in 2013 and take action to protect the bay in 2014. Thank you for coming to Bristol Bay.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. We'll next hear from Herman Nelson from Kalaalleq.
Thank you, Gina, for coming to Bristol Bay and listening to us. It means a lot to us because we have something here that we want not to happen, and so that our kids and our future will always have something. Bristol Bay is very unique, and we need to keep it that way. Building an open pit mine in the headwaters of our river is not going to solve the problem. It's only going to be there just for a short limit of time. and then it's gone. When you talk about how they say 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, that's nothing. We have a renewable resource that's been here for at least 200 years, and it's always been here. And it's brought in so much. It's brought in people. And it's such a renewable resource. Our watershed, we need to protect, and so forth. But anyway, I have something that I want to say right here. Some parts of our state are good for development. Some are not. Bristol Bay is not good for large-scale mining. We all know that. As senior officials of our federal government, I hope that you listen to the majority. I hope that you listen to the majority of the people in our region. Because they know what's best. And when I like it when you guys come to Bristol Bay and to listen to all the people of Bristol Bay. Because the people is who you represent. And it's so neat to see that you come and listen to all people. And it makes me feel good because you're not just doing it on a level where just a few people. You're listening to everyone, and I really like that. I listen to different comments on why we shouldn't have the pebble mine, and it makes me so. It's so unique to see here what everybody has to say, and every one of those words that are said has a meaning. Why we don't want large scale mining in Bristol Bay? Any large scale development in Bristol Bay may produce short. Term wealth, but will destroy our land, waters, rivers, and renewable resources. You were appointed for your sound leadership. EPA must move forward, finalize the watershed assessment. You have the authority under the Clean Water Act to do so. Our watershed is very important. You know, I didn't really know a few years ago what watershed meant to me, but I know now because I learned from people, listening to people. Watershed means everything. Everything that we have from our rivers that flow down to Dillingham. And our rivers consist of Chapna, and Nooshigat, and Nuyakup, and when you go up to the Mount Chapna, you've got the north and the south fork of the Kaktuli. That's right, goes right up to the proposed pebble mine. You may see that today, I'm not too sure. But that's the headwaters of our river. The world's largest run of salmon in North America. Do we want to give up that? No. Our watershed is very important now in the future. There is no place in Alaska that has so much renewable resources, and it's been that way for thousands of years. Your staff worked hard. Dennis, Rick, how many times did I see you?
A lot.
Quite a bit. I stand before you guys to let you guys know how much and how concerned we are as people that we don't want no mining in the headwaters of our river. Now is the time to finish the watershed assessment. Now is the time to start the 404C action. In closing, as an elected leader, people look to me to do my job. We look to you to do your job. Protect the people of Bristol Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Herman. Because of the very, very short time that we have left, I'd like to call on two of our young students to come up to the microphone and speak together, Dylan Cheney and Kate Gomez.
Hi, my name is Kate Gomez, spelled G-O-M-E-Z, and I am speaking for myself. My parents are Benita Flinsberg and Gabe Gomez. My grandparents are Abijah Luckers and Virgil Luckers. I go subsistence fishing every year on the Nishkiak River. I also go moose hunting on that river. That river is a water cycle of life for many, many animals and fish. In the summer in Dillingham, I go to a camp called Culture Camp. That camp is about our elders and fish. We cut up fish and smoke and freeze fish. We help the younger kids learn how to do fish. At the end of the camp, we give our fish to our elders. Another camp I go to is Salmon Camp. It is a camp that teaches us more about the science of fish. In Salmon Camp, we go fishing, but 2 years ago, we tried and tried, but we could not get one. So sooner or later, we just sent out the boys, and they went and got a half-eaten one. It didn't matter if we had a fish or not. It just mattered if we had some. So when I shoot a moose this year, I will be trying to shoot my first moose this year. I know when you shoot your first moose, you have to butcher it up and give it away to your elders. So please listen to us. We want you to use your authority to protect our water and land. To us, the wildlife that lives here is worth more than the mine could ever be. Thank you for your time.
Hello, my name is Dylan Chaney. Hello, my name is Dylan Chaney. My parents are Will and Robin Chaney. My grandparents are Judy and Robin Samuelson and Joe and Ella May Chaney. Thank you for coming to Dillingham and listening to my testimony. My great-great-grandpa was a commercial fisherman. My great-grandpa, my grandpa, and my mom grew up commercial fishing, and now I fish and I want to keep on fishing. I've saved all the money I've made commercial fishing and used to pay for college. I still have 10 more years to fish for college and I don't want Peppa Mine to threaten my chances of becoming a commercial fisherman. Me, my brother, sister, my mom, and grandparents subsistence fish for salmon. And that is what I eat most days. At our school and Head Start, they do Fish Fridays, with salmon donated by local fishermen. They wouldn't be able to do that if Pebble Mine killed our salmon. I also worry about what I would eat if Pebble Mine happened. I have food allergies and I can't eat a whole lot of food from the store. When I traveled to Washington, D.C. to testify, I brought my own fish from home so I know that I would have something safe to eat. So please use the authority of the Clean Water Act to stop Pebble Mine because the damage would be irreversible. Thank you.
I'd like Rick Halford to come forward, please. And right behind him, I'd like to have Pete Andrew here. We just have a couple more minutes left, and I'd like to wrap it up. Thank you.
Very, very quickly, thank you very much for being here. You've heard from basically four generations of the heart and soul of Bristol Bay. And, you know, they, as you and your studies have shown, represent the last great salmon stronghold on the face of the earth. It's got all five species and all the resources and the dependent culture. I came here 47 years ago as a guest from New England, you know, these people are the most sharing people on the face of the earth. But they have been so challenged by the state's action and inaction that they have gone thousands of miles to ask you for help. The unity of this group and the unity of Bristol Bay, as shown by all the numbers you've got, and by the elders that you hear, they all have a PhD in life. And they all know the things that some of us from the outside don't even know the right way to ask the question to get the traditional knowledge of what's happened. The salmon system is magic. The best of the scientists will tell us that. And it's not something we can ever fix if we damage. This is the last chance on this earth. And the state, instead of listening, joins with the Pebble lawyers to fight against locally instituted lawsuits to go after people like former First Lady Bella Hammond on legal fees for a water lawsuit. The state is lost on this issue. They're blinded by the short-term promises that have been lies for centuries. You cannot have the kind of water interchange that makes Bristol Bay what it is, and a massive sulfide mine that is up to a mile deep. People in this room understand gravity and what flows downhill. Please go forward with the watershed assessment. Don't listen to a mini startup permit that's designed to avoid the real meaning of the EIS process. This is the heart and soul of Bristol Bay, and these people need your help. Their state is not listening. It is sadly blind to what all of history has shown. Thank you very much for being here.
Pete Andrew. Asked you to please keep it brief. We'd like to wrap up.
Thank you. Oyana mavat nunak damun tailut unom mai spetik needs omaya ogutwanku dayut makumiut.
Thank you very much for coming. My name is Pete Andrew, BBNC Director, Commercial Fisherman Subsistence User, and Steward of Future Grandchildren. I hope that will come. I ask you, please, 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 act on the watershed assessment. I support the Iliamna Council that provisioned the Colorado School of Mines that McDowell quoted by saying, irreversible acts will happen if this mine was to be allowed. And I thank you for coming. I know you're in a rush. And thank you, Ralph. One of the good things of being the moderator is I get to set aside my own time. Madam Administrator, you've heard some of the voices of our people this morning. Please remember them. I'm sure you recognize the common threads that run through all of them, so I won't repeat them. I also want you to know, and I'm sure you recognize that we started out with our tribal representatives because we very much respect our tribal leadership here, and we also recognize that you do too by recognizing our government-to-government relationship, and we'd also like you to honor, like we do, the federal trust responsibility. I want to give you the same wish as I did to your predecessor, Lisa Jackson, when she was here in 2011. On a clear night at your home, on your flight back across the country, take a look at the moon. You'll see craters of different sizes. Some will be extremely large, some not so big. Focus on one of them and imagine it's the Pebble Mine. Because of the nature of the formation, the Pebble Mine will be so big, you'll be able to see it from the moon. There are some common sense questions that I'd like you to ask and answer for yourself. Will there be environmental impacts from such a big hole in the ground? Will there be impacts or destruction of our fish and game? Will our lives and our cultures in Bristol Bay be changed, perhaps forever? Will our grandchildren, our children, and future generations be better off? Can such a big crater ever be fully restored to its original natural state? Will our nation be any more secure as a result of this? Are all of the risks involved in changing the face of the earth really worth it? We've come to rely on science to help us make the most sound decisions, and we're comfortable with that. But at the end of the day, when we're alone, when we're faced with making the final decision on something this big, I pray that you'll rely on your common sense and do the right thing. I'm leaving you copies of the final report of the Bristol Bay Regional Visioning Project, a project that was undertaken by the Bristol Bay Partnership, which is our leadership organization in Bristol Bay, and you've heard from many of them today. Please read it. It's very easy reading. It describes our hopes and dreams and for the future of our region. Finally, on a personal note, Madam Administrator, somewhere along the line in your educational career, I assume you're in the famous class of 76, just like me. You had hopes, dreams, and a desire to pursue dreams, and a vision. And you want to be successful, just like me. You want to make changes for the better, wanting to make a difference, wanting to do the right thing for that famous bicentennial class of our nation. Look where we are now. Now we can. Now we can make a difference. Thank you for coming to our region. We wish you the very best in your travels to other parts of the state. Thank you very much.
Is it okay if I say a few things?
Sure.
Do you have me timed? First of all, Ralph, if you could come up here, I just want to thank you for your kind wrap-up words. They are very thought-provoking, and they remind me of what my responsibilities are, and I want to thank you for that. That's why we're here today. And I want to give you a little token of our appreciation. EPA is, in my opinion, a great organization. One of the reasons why I'm so pleased to be here is that I get to follow in the footsteps of great people like Lisa Jackson, who was here and bragged about this visit, and I said, if I'm getting this job, I'm coming back here so that I can... I really so appreciated the confidence of the president when he recommended me for this position and when I was just shortly sworn in. I couldn't imagine working for an agency that was more relevant today than the Environmental Protection Agency. Our sole mission is to protect public health and the environment. His charge, to me, was to move forward on that mission and not to hang out in Washington thinking that we have all the answers. He wanted us to go out and gather the knowledge that we needed to make the right decisions. And he gave me blessed people like Dennis McLaren, who I was able to share. Because while the responsibility is daunting, the opportunities are tremendous. I am a child of the 60s. I came to this position, and I have worked my whole life in order to try to make it a richer, more fulfilling, more sustainable world. I can't thank you enough for reminding me. Tristan began it. The students here today, coming here, you remind us why we're all here, what we work for every day, and why I am probably the most blessed person in the world to be at EPA at this point in time and to have a president who told me to get out and find the answers. Get an understanding. Work that science, because that's what's going to make our decisions matter. What's going to make them sustainable. And he told me to go out and work with people. Don't just rely on the science, but rely on the knowledge of the people that are most impacted by decisions as we move forward. That is why I am here today. I'm here in Alaska because he told me that the administration is going to move on the challenge of climate change. Alaska is where it is all apparent. It's not just apparent in receding glaciers. It's apparent in villages that are falling into the sea. It's apparent here in changing ecosystems. And I am here in Bristol Bay because I know that while climate change is important on a grand scale, so is Bristol Bay.
It's our responsibility to make sure that we understand the issues underlying those decisions, what the science tells us, and what it means for the people that the Environmental Protection Agency serves. And that is you. So, Ralph, this means a lot to me. This is an EPA pin that I want you to have and I want you to wear proudly, and I want you all to know that I intend to make you proud in the position that the President has given. Thank you.